The following message is presented to you by Grace Baptist Church in Kettering, Ohio.
Amen. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing on this Sunday school hour. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you did wash away all of our sins, that you didn't leave one or two of them, but you washed away them all, and we thank you for that. We ask that you bless us during this Bible study hour, that you'd speak and minister to our hearts. Would you grow us as a church and as individuals? And Lord, I pray that we would have a vision bigger than ourselves. I pray that you would help us to catch your vision for our surrounding area. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Before Brother Russ comes, you may be seated. I want to remind you of what it says in Acts 1 and verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." How many of you have the Holy Ghost living within you? If you're saved here today, you should have your hand raised, all right? "And ye shall be witnesses." Now, you might be, but you shall be witnesses. So the question is, how good of witnesses are we? "Unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay, so a lot of missions conferences were talking about the uttermost parts of the earth. Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, and so on. And great, the Philippines. That's wonderful. And we need to. But we must not forget our own Jerusalem, our own Judea, and our own Samaria. There are places within driving distance of this church that need churches to be planted, independent Baptist churches that are going to stand up and they're going to preach the gospel unashamedly in our day. And so we want to see that happen. And I have, as I told you the other night, I've asked Brother Russ to come in order to help us as a church to begin getting a taste and a vision for what God can do through our church. We're not too small to plant a church. We are just the right size. In fact, God has the exact amount of people here that he wants to use to plant a church. We don't need one person more to plant a church. We have what it takes right now with the believers that are in this room to plant a church. Now, I know that there's teenagers gathered with us this morning. I want to encourage you. God might call you to be a part of this. God might call you to be one of the people that's a music director at a church plant, or a Sunday school teacher at a church plant, or a deacon at a church plant. So you stay open to the Lord, whatever the Lord would have. He may call some of you to go actually be in the future a part of planning the church. And what a great thing that would be. So Brother Russ, you come and share with us from your heart about church planning. I'm thankful for you, and he's been a great encouragement to me, and I appreciate his influence even in my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Romans chapter number 10, please. Romans chapter number 10. A lot of people say, all right, now, this whole idea of church planting is a good idea. It needs to be done. But is our church really in a position to plant a church? All right, we like to call it reproducing, right? So this church would be the mother church, amen, the parent church. Now, let's rewind back to when we had kids. How many of you had kids and you waited till you had $100,000 in the bank first? Right? If I look back to when we had kids, I'd have said, I was crazy. We couldn't afford to have kids. We didn't have the ability to have kids. We couldn't take care of kids. And yet we had them, and they lived. Amen? Amen. So, and they've grown up, and praise the Lord. All right, you know, we sometimes look at things humanly, and I have a lot of churches look at me and say, this church plan is a great idea, but are we really in a position? Can we really afford to? Do we really have the ability to be involved with that? Well, again, if every young person here said, well, once we are able to afford and have everything set up to have kids, we will have kids, there will not be a next generation in America, all right? Because there would be very few that could have, you know, just flat out say, oh, yeah, I'm all set up for that. So let's look at this today, reaching America. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. I'd like to launch off here from this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, you see his heart as he comes into chapter 10. Brother Figali earlier this week shared with us in this conference farther on in chapter 10, so you kind of get the context of chapter 10. But he says in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel." So we see here, the Apostle Paul has a heart burning. He has a heart's desire. And really, when something becomes a real desire and a burning within us, we then take it to the Lord in prayer. How many of you have had somebody say, will you pray for this? And you go, yeah, I'll pray for that. and you never gave it another thought, right? I'm sure we would all, if we could be honest, would raise our hands and say, yeah, I've done that. And why is that? Because, you know, they share a prayer request to you that means nothing to you. It doesn't have that draw on your heart. Now, if you took your child or your grandchild to the doctor and the doctor says you got a 50-50 chance to live, would you be praying for that child? Sure, because you love that child. You have a burden for that child. And we see here, the Apostle Paul wasn't just talking about his nation, wasn't just, kind of glancing over his nation. He had a burden for his nation, and he took it to God in prayer. And what was that? He says, his prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. All right, now, today, and I don't believe we're perverting Scripture here, I believe as Christians we could read this passage of Scripture and say, my heart desire and prayer to God for America. And we could also throw in there the uttermost parts. Amen. I thank God we have missionary here to the Middle East and to New York City, to the Muslims and to the Philippines. And I look at your missions wall and all of those different nations that need to see churches planted and souls saved and Christians discipled and all of those kind of things happening. We could honestly say our prayer, our desire and our prayer to God is that America or Canada or you name the nation, that they might be saved. But focusing on just today here on America, since we're in America and your church is, if you're going to plant churches, reproduce yourself in churches, you're more than likely going to do it right here in America, amen, within your area. And so we see here, first of all, and please take your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. We see, of course, the church's Great Commission. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. Most of you know this passage of Scripture very well. You should know the passage of Scripture very well. It's your theme passage for this conference. Of course, the first word there in Matthew chapter 19, or verse number 28, verse 19, is go. All right. And it says there again, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is a command from the Lord to the local church. Amen. We believe that God works through the local church. You would say, well, Brother Russ, that's not true because I am individually mandated to go out soul winning and to tell people about Jesus Christ. So that is not a local church command. Well, yes, it is. The commission is given to the local church, and your pastor stands before the church and preaches passages of Scripture like this. And what he is doing is he's commissioning you to fulfill the Great Commission and go out. And you say, well, again, how can you prove that to me? All right, well, it says there that we are to teach all nations, talking about how we are to see people saved. Then what's the second thing it tells us to do? Take them home to our bathtub and baptize them, right? No. Amen. Hopefully you're not doing that, right? You bring them back where? To the local church, amen. So you lead your neighbor to Christ, your co-worker to Christ, you bring them here to church, you introduce them to the pastor. The pastor talks with them and makes sure that they understand salvation. And what's the next step? They get baptized where? Into the local church, amen. And then what does this pastor tell us to do after that? We are to disciple them. Where is that to take place? Again, through the local church. Now, your pastor might ask you to meet somebody in a coffee shop here in Kettering and disciple somebody, but it's all done through the ministry of the local church. Amen? And our goal for that is that that individual then tells other people about Jesus Christ, and then they bring them into the church, they get saved, and then they too get discipled, and it just continues to go on and go on and go on. You know, soul winning is only one-third of the Great Commission, but I believe the key to church planting is our heart's desire to reach the lost in our own community. Think about this. Could you imagine if you don't even care about your spouse enough to share the gospel with your spouse? Or let's say you got saved. Let's say I got saved now. I'm 52 years of age. My children are all in their 20s, and I just get saved. Do you not think I'd have a heart's desire for my children and their spouses to come to know Christ as their Savior? Of course I would. Why? Because I love them. They're my family. Amen? So I'm going to reach out to my family, of course. And so we're talking here about church planting. And church planting is very important. And I know I can prove to you right now that you believe in church planting because you're sitting in one. Right? Now, I know you don't look at this as a church plant anymore. I get that. You don't walk in this building and say, oh, this is a great church plant. But this church had to start someday. It didn't exist 2,000 years ago when Christ was on this earth. Right? It was planted. It had to be started. And because of that, souls have been saved. People have been baptized. People have been discipled. And you reap the fruit of that. You reap the benefit of that all the time. Folks, we need to have a love and a desire for our own local church and our own community. How can we reach a neighbor community if we don't even have a heart for our own communities? Amen? And so we need to ask God to speak to us and to use us. And we need to start getting involved with just handing out an Easter invitation. Well, I guess I should use Christmas. Christmas is coming sooner. And I'm sure you're going to have Christmas literature here to hand out. And you need to give that to a coworker and invite them to a Christmas service and invite them out to church. And folks, if you're not doing that here in your own community, how are you going to do that in the community half an hour from here or an hour from here? Are you going to take the time to drive over there and help a new church get in birth if you don't even care about your own community? I'd encourage you to be involved with evangelism in your local church. But the totality of the Great Commission is church planting and nothing short of it. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, again, the Great Commission must be fulfilled through the ministry of the local church. And therefore, in order for the Great Commission to be fulfilled in any community, there needs to be a church there. And so this church here is trying to reach Kettering and is reaching out. And I see you have buses, you got vans, and you do soul winning and so forth. And you're trying to reach people for Christ through this local church. And the communities around us also need to have local churches so that they can do this also. This can only be done through the ministry of a local church, and therefore we need to have churches throughout our great nation. Now let's look over, your pastor already referred to this passage of Scripture, over in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, we see the church's cause includes church planting. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. You know what I love about this passage of Scripture? You know, I ask many times, is this a church planting passage of Scripture? Is it for a church planting conference? Is it for a missions conference? Is it for a revival conference? Or is it for a soul winning conference? And the answer is yes. Amen. Okay. It's for all of those things. Amen. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Now, have you ever read Scripture quickly and you don't pick up all the nuances, especially in a verse like this, because you know it well, right? So this passage of Scripture is going to tell us where to plant churches, right? And your pastor already talked about those different areas. And so in your mind already, you've got it in your head. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, we are to plant churches. We are to go soul winning in our Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? You got that. You know what we many times miss? Let's read verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Many times we blow through that part of Scripture real fast to get to the main part. Well, folks, that is the main part. We, as your pastor said, how many here have the Holy Spirit of God within them? Well, of course, if you are saved today, you have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That's a wonderful gift. That's a great blessing that God has given to us as believers. But it's not just that we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, that we are walking in the Spirit. We are being led of the Spirit. We are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives and through our lives. We need Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided churches, Spirit-empowered churches is what it's telling us here in verse number 8. And I believe if the Holy Spirit of God is upon a local church, then these things are going to take place. These things are going to be natural. These things are going to be normal. Now, if I was moving to Kettering and I came to visit this church, there's certain things that I would look for and I would expect to see in this church. Amen? The Bible, the Word of God, and what version of the Word of God that you're using. Amen? And the kind of music that you're going to have and the doctrines that you believe in and what kind of a church that this is and how do you practice and how do you function. And there's certain things that I would expect as normal. I would be appreciative as I walked in the first time and see your missions wall and see that you care about reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We expect that to be normal. We expect that to be a part of our local churches. I mean, you expect to come to church every Sunday and you're going to hear have hymns sung and you're going to have a choir special, or maybe a soloist is going to sing, and your pastor is going to preach, amen? And there's going to be announcements, there's going to be an offering, praise the Lord, it's a Baptist church, all right? So we're going to have an offering, all right? These are normal things that we're going to have happening in our service, and if I came to this church for the first time, and I saw a bunch of crazy things going on, I'd probably say, okay, next, okay, and be praying, Lord, please let there be another one in Kettering for me to go to, right? And there's certain things you just expect to have happen. Well, as the Holy Ghost comes upon us, I believe this should be natural, this should be normal, and it says, ye shall be witnesses both to me in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Of course, Jerusalem, this is your Jerusalem, amen? It is right here in Kettering. Now, the problem is with a lot of churches is we've got that. We have to reach Kettering. We have to see this church grow. We want to see this church go on. Amen? Many of you are sitting here saying, I want to see that this church is going on 50 years from now. You want to see this church. Your heart's desire is that this church is still standing long after you go home to be with the Lord. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. It's a great purpose, and so you've got it down. We're going to reach Jerusalem. And then you say, hey, praise the Lord, we have a missionary here to the Middle East. We've got to reach the Middle East, and we do. And we get all excited about that. We're involved, amen? We're reaching here in Kettering, and we're reaching in the Middle East. We're reaching people in the Philippines. We're reaching people. And so we've got this thing down of reaching our Jerusalem and the uttermost. But we forget the part about where it says there in verse number 8, it says in all Judea, and today we could say that of basically saying all of Ohio, and then Samaria. Samaritans were the half-breeds, or half-Jew and half-Gentiles, and mixed race, and the average Jewish individual didn't like them. And so we can compare them to the Michigan people, amen? Michigan people, we don't like them. And no Michigan fans here, I hope, all right? But all right, and right in the front row. Lord, forgive me. You're my favorite people here, though. And so you are commissioned not just to reach Kettering and the Middle East. You ought to be reaching in the Middle East. You ought to be reaching Kettering. But there's, do you think Dayton, the greater Dayton area, has been won to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the majority of our cities in this country, what is the culture in those cities? How do they vote? What direction do they want this country to go in? Do you think the majority of our major cities in America today have Christian values? Of course not. What do we need to do in those cities? We need to go in and see those people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not just talking about the cities themselves, but many communities around that need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Need to have towns that need to have local churches planted in them. So Christ gave the local church the area in which to reach people with the Great Commission. Now, we're told here in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and verse number 8, where we're to go, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost. So you are responsible, and a Spirit-led church is going to reach Kettering. You're going to do your part to reach the surrounding areas. You're going to do your part to help reach the state. And you're going to do your part to help reach this nation. And you're going to do your part to help reach the world. And now, how can you do that? Well, I pastored in Toledo for 10 years, and our church in Toledo reproduced itself by starting a church in Oregon, not the state. All right, there's a suburb of Toledo called Oregon. All right, so it's just on the east side of Toledo. We started a church there in Oregon. Amen. Living Word Baptist Church. So we reproduced ourselves. But you know what else happened in the last 10 years that I was there? 7 other churches that we were able to. Now, there was more churches than that in Ohio that were started. But 7 other churches in Ohio that our church was able to get involved with, either by supporting the pastor who was reproduced or being the new church planter there. We went and helped with the John and Roman distribution so that people would know in the community that church is starting. We would go for the initial kickoff week of meetings, help out with nursery and ushers and refreshments and all sorts of things. We got involved with helping those churches. Now, what I would love to see, wouldn't it be great in America? I'm told that there's about 14,500 independent Baptist churches like this one across the country. Could you imagine if every one of them was praying, God, where would you have us start a church? Now, who is in control of all that, right? Young people, you get married, and who determines when you're going to have your first child? God does. Right? There's a lot of people, young people who get married and say, we want to have a kid right away. And guess what? 6 years later, 7 years later, still no children, right? It's in God's hands. I know some people have done everything they could to not have a child, and 6 weeks later, hallelujah, all right, they're having a child. But could you imagine across America, if every one of those churches saying, God, what would you have us to do in reproducing ourselves and seeing another church planted in our area? Could you imagine what would happen to the culture in America? You know, we hear in the election season all the time, and a lot of Christians get on board, and we ought to vote for those who are going to hold to our Christian values. I get all that. But in the last election, now many of you have heard now, we've come from Canada. We became citizens last October after the primaries, and our first election, we got to choose between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Our first election. It was exciting. And you know which one of them was the answer for America? Well, neither one of them is the answer for the salvation of America. Neither one of them is going to take America and bring it back to God. All right? Now, they can do some things to help us, give us our religious liberties back and those kind of things. But is the power of God working through the local church as we see people, one, in our communities, as we go over to the neighboring communities and plant churches, as we help churches started in our state, our neighboring states? Your pastor talks about how Indiana is so close. For us, Michigan was so close. Folks, got to forgive me. I even prayed about starting a church in Ann Arbor. I figured, hey, where else would we find heathens that we could reach to Christ? Amen. And go to Ann Arbor. And so we prayed about that. And, you know, we need to be doing these things. And I'm telling you, as we see churches planted across this nation, could America come back to God? Could we see revival in America? Could we see this become a Christian nation with Christian values again? Praise God. I believe, honestly believe, that we can do so. But the problem is we get focused. Now, your pastor's just a kid. No, I'm just kidding. I just say that because I'm starting to feel old, okay? And so he might not remember this. Maybe he's read about this. But some of you remember the 70s and the early 80s, okay? You know what was happening in America in the 70s and the early 80s? Churches were being started everywhere. You know, Ohio was one of the greatest states for church planting during the 70s and during the 80s. Somebody in the middle of the 80s wrote a book, The Largest Sunday Schools in America. And it listed a bunch of churches, and most of them, praise the Lord, were independent Baptist churches. Amen. Largest Sunday schools in America. And you know what a lot of pastors started thinking? I want my name in the book. And you know what that means to get your name in the book? You can't be thinking about starting a church a half an hour from here. You got to build this one. You got to see this church grow. We got to see this church. And there became an attitude in America And I've had pastors tell me, Brother Kagan, that you're nobody until you're running 700. Isn't that great? Neither one of us are in anybody, all right? And that mentality and that focus that, you know, we've got to think of ourselves and build up this work and focus on us and only care about us. And who cares about the neighboring communities? Who cares about our state? Who cares about our nation? We need to just focus on us and build our empire and make a name for ourselves. And so if your pastor wants to start preaching all over America, he's got to build his church to 700. If he builds it to 700, he'll be getting asked to speak all over the country because he'll be considered somebody great because he has done that. And that has sadly became our focus. That's not a new problem. It happened right at the very beginning of church planting. If you see here in the book of Acts, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. You got the church in Jerusalem, and the church in Jerusalem is growing. And it's growing, and it's exciting, and you're young Christians, and you've got other believers to fellowship with, and maybe they put in a rock wall and that for the kids. No, I'm just kidding, all right? But they just had a bunch, you know, it was just wonderful for that church to be together. But what did God commission that church to do? They weren't just to reach Jerusalem. They were to reach Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. But they loved their church. I said in my testimony on Friday night, God had to take me by the scuff of the neck, throw me out the front door. The reason was I loved my home church. I loved being an assistant pastor in my home church. I knew God was calling me to go start a church. I didn't want to do that. And through circumstances of my life, God had to bring about me leaving that church to go plant a church. And I thank God he did that. But it's a sad thing that God's got to take us by the scuff of the neck and throw us out the front door to get us to do what he's commanded us to do. And I believe there's a lot of things happening in churches today. We are seeing this empire building going on, and the pastors are complaining. Well, I had this split, and I had this problem, I had that problem, and this going on, and that going on. And I've heard pastors say to me, well, I've built 5 churches in my area through splitting. Well, maybe it's because you weren't going to your area and reach them, and God helped you out. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time was a great persecution against the church that was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. All right? And so the apostles, the leadership, stayed in Jerusalem, and they focused on continuing to reach Jerusalem. And I'm sure there are some folks that stayed there in Jerusalem that needed a pastor and that they needed care. But many people were scattered around that entire area here in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. I personally believe it was God's will for the church to be sending people out to those areas, and they weren't doing it. And God said, let me help you. And then God brought circumstances upon the church, just like God brought circumstances upon me to get me out of my comfort zone and do what God would have me to do. Now, again, notice that the apostles were not scattered. It was the believers in that local church. And the first church planters we see were men that were trained in that local church under the apostles in Jerusalem that are now scattered about, and they're the church planters. How do we know that? Well, in Acts chapter 8, verse number 4, the Bible goes on and says, therefore, they that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now think about this. If the government could bring in a military force into this community and start killing everybody who says they're a believer, would you go to Fairburn and witness? I don't know if I would. Okay? Would you go to Wilmington and witness? I don't know if I would, because they're killing people in Kettering. Well, that's kind of close. Don't you think they might kill us there too? They might move the forces down the road a little bit and wipe us out too. But the believers didn't do that. Amen. They trusted God. They put their faith in the Lord. You know, I think of Brother Figali. I know Brother Dobb that serves with him. They've gone to the Sudan. They've gone to places that I'm thinking, I don't know if I'd go to them. And amen. But I thank God that they went there. Amen. And they're starting churches and they're seeing churches established and souls saved and all of that stuff. And this is what's happening. They went everywhere preaching the word. The word here means to announce good news, especially the gospel. They're going around everywhere preaching the gospel. Now, why on earth would you, if pretend now there's no churches in America but this one. Persecution comes to this church, and you're scattered to Fairburn and Wilmington and into Dayton and all sorts of areas around here, and you're scattered, and you're going to preach the word, and you're going to see souls saved. Well, why would you preach the word? Why would you see souls saved? What would be the purpose of that? Well, you miss being at church in Jerusalem. You miss the fellowship of other believers. Their heart's desire and their goal was to plant churches. You're saying, Pastor, you're reading into this. You're stretching a little bit here. How can you prove what you're saying? Well, I'm glad you're asking these hard questions, all right? The result of this preaching and dispersion was the multiplication of churches. As God brought these circumstances into the church of Jerusalem, they went to the neighboring communities and they preached the word of God. They saw souls saved. And what is the Great Commission? See them saved, see them baptized. Well, you can only do that with a local church. And see them discipled. You can only do that with a local church. And then they go back out and keep the cycle going. So more and more people get saved. Amen. And if you know your Bible history here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5 says that they turned Jerusalem upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be amazing if people in Kettering said that Grace Baptist Church turned Kettering upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You say, yeah, we're just a small group. Well, what do you think they had? The apostles starting out, that they had, a team of 9,000 coming into Jerusalem? No, of course not. I mean, the 120 in the upper room, and then the handful of apostles in the room where the Spirit of God comes down upon them, and they preach, and people start getting saved, and thousands are getting saved, and the church is starting to grow. It wasn't a huge crowd that did that. They turned Jerusalem upside down. What's it say in Acts chapter 17? They turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? How's that happen? Well, what's happening here? Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse number 31, the results of the preaching and this dispersion. Then had the what? Churches. Grammar lesson. Is that singular or plural? All right, plural. All right, very good. All right, it's not hard here. There's an S at the end. All right. Okay, so then had the churches. So we went, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the church in Jerusalem, scattered, preaching the word of God, and by chapter 9, what's happening? The churches had rest throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. You see what's happening? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is taking place, and they're what? Walking in the fear of the Lord, amen? They're walking in the Spirit of God, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. The key words we see here in verse number 31 are churches, rest, and multiplied, right? Because they went from persecution to having rest. Why? Because they finally started doing what God told them to do. And I do honestly believe that we have a lot of problems in good churches in America today because we become so focused on ourselves. And I don't believe that is God's plan ever, that we are so focused on ourselves. We're seeing Christians today that say, I'll get involved with my church once everything for my life is taken care of, right? Once my bank account's full and my house is paid off and I get to drive a fancy car and I get to go on nice vacations, then I'll serve God, right? That's a very self-centered, self-focused life. And sadly, yeah, God might give you the Lamborghini and the French Riviera, but you're not going to have the joy of God that God would have for you if you're not surrendered to Him. Now, thank God you can give your whole heart to Him and still have the French Riviera. Amen? God has blessed many believers, and thank God for that. But number one, our heart ought to be for Him. And just as you would say that for a family, that needs to be the heart of a church. That we say, God, we want what you would have for us. We want to serve you. We want to please you. And what would honor and glorify God through this church? By you reaching Kettering for Christ, you reaching your neighboring communities for Christ, you reaching your state, your nation, and the uttermost parts of the world through the ministry of this local church. Churches reproduce churches. That ought to be normal. Amen? Most of us who've had children, and now our children are married, what did we want? Grandchildren. And we weren't shocked. How did that happen? Right? It's a normal thing. My daughter got married to Ron, and now we have two grandkids, and we're happy. And you know what I'm expecting someday? Is that Landon and McKenna are going to get married and have kids. It's a normal, natural thing. People reproduce people. Amen? It's a natural thing. It's a normal thing. It's always happening. Amen? I like Brother Figali. You got to have five of them. I told your pastor, if he's willing to go for five, we'll try for five. His wife told me we had to adopt to do that. All right, so and anyhow, but we're not doing it. All right, it's a natural thing. Well, do you know what healthy churches do? They reproduce. It ought to be just as natural for us to be reproducing ourselves as it is for us to send a missionary to the foreign field. Now, we ought to be sending missionaries to the foreign field, but we also ought to be looking at reproducing ourselves right here at home. You know one of the great blessings? My son, you look at my son, he looks just like me. He acts like his mother, unfortunately. All right, but you know what my son is? He is like us. We complain about a lot of Christianity in America today. You want to have more churches like this one? Start churches like this one. Amen? We reproduce after our own kind. I know your pastor's not going to start some of those churches that are out there. He's not going to reproduce that kind. But he can reproduce this kind by churches, reproducing churches. And again, what we do as a ministry is we come alongside and help this church to fulfill that and to help that to happen so that churches reproduce churches and we can reach America. We can reach the world through church planting, according to God's design and plan for the local church. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to share with these good folks the need of reproducing ourselves into our nation. God, we pray for revival in the land. We pray for revival in churches. God, we pray that churches would get a burden to reach their neighboring communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ through planting a new church. We thank you and praise you in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. We invite you to find out more about Jesus at our website, gracebaptistofkettering.org. And remember, you're always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.